This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello.
And Bridget, I think since we recorded last, at least, we've gotten several checks here at the station. And one of the checks came from Amazon Smile, and a nice sizable check. If you shop on Amazon, we never want to tell people where to shop, but if you ever shop online on Amazon, if you first go to Amazon Smile, and register your charity as Catholic Radio Indy, all three words, Catholic Radio Indy, then every time you spend anything on Amazon, Catholic Radio gets a small percentage, and gee, when a lot of people do it, it really adds up. So Amazon Smile, we just got a nice check from them. And the other one we even got a bigger check from is Kroger. All of the local Kroger stores, and again, we're not trying to tell you where to shop, but if you shop at Kroger, I'm sure you use a reward card because all of the bargains you don't get without the reward card. But if you register your card first with Catholic Radio Indy as your charity, every time you buy a can of beans or a loaf of bread or whatever it might be, Catholic Radio gets a small percentage, and that really adds up. We've got a lot of local folks doing that, and we really, really appreciate that very much. So if you are doing either of those, thank you very much. If you haven't started doing either one of them, you can start doing them both just by going to our website, Catholic Radio Indy, catholicradioindy.org, and you'll see little logos there, and you can just click on it and get going, and you'll be helping us out without even thinking about it.
Well, one of the things I really love about being Catholic, well, there's so many things, but one of the things I love about being Catholic is that there are so many incredible ministries that our church is involved in that, you know, if you just go to the parish and maybe, and that's all you do, but you don't really see the bigger church and everything that's going on, it's just absolutely amazing. If you just ever go to the usccb.org and check out all the ministries that are going on that the church is doing, it's just absolutely incredible. And we're actually going to be talking about one of those ministries today.
We had a meeting, Bob Typen, founder of Catholic Radio, and I had a meeting with the Archbishop and Greg Gutalski and Monsignor Stump and Mickey Lentz. I don't know, a month or so ago, we just like to, from time to time, touch base with them. And, you know, we're both kind of high-profile Catholic organizations in the area here, and we were saying, gee, if you ever have any ideas about who would make good guests for our Faith in Action program, just let us know. And boy, they all got out their pencils and started writing. And Oscar, you were very high on their list.
Yes. So our guest today is Oscar Castellanos. He is the director of the Intercultural Ministries for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. So Oscar, thanks for being with us. Welcome to Faith in Action.
It's always a pleasure to be with you guys. Jim, Bridget, thanks again for the opportunity.
Well, I really want to talk about the mission, and really that's so timely with all the civil unrest and the whole thought of racism. I really feel like our church does such a great job reaching out to many, many cultures. And if you really just go to your webpage and you see all the different cultures that the Catholic Church really does reach out to, I think we can be really happy and encouraged by what our church is doing. So tell us a little bit about the ministry that you oversee there at the Archdiocese of Indianapolis.
So we have as a mission statement that our offices serve all cultural and ethnic communities located in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. But the emphasis here is in all cultures. You know, we're not only serving the Black community, the Hispanic community, and the Asian communities. When we say all, it's literally we get the privilege to serve everyone because everyone has a culture. Now, the emphasis is on the ethnic communities. But there is a risk here, Bridget and Jim, that I want to make sure that we all understand. The risk is that we are not trying to create mini dioceses for these different communities. So let's take, for example, the Hispanic community.
Mm-hmm.
If the Hispanic community, which is the largest group, needs formation, catechesis, evangelization, it requires the whole church, the different diocesan offices, key leaders to try to respond to that. It is not the Office of Hispanic Ministry to be in charge of everything that relates to the Hispanic community. Therefore, you know, we put the emphasis, we serve all church. It's just that we get the privilege to walk together with these different ethnic communities, which many of them are immigrants, refugees. Some of them are second, third generations.
Mm-hmm. What is the largest growing culture within the archdiocese? The fastest growing?
I would say
growing.
Within the last 10 years, the Burmese community. That is in terms of growing. But obviously in terms of numbers, definitely the Hispanic community. I do have some of the latest numbers from 2015 given to us, but what was called the Fifth Encuentro.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the numbers are there. Obviously, I think they're, you know, they could be more accurate because not everyone within our groups register or open to be counted. But definitely the Hispanic community has the largest in terms of numbers.
I remember back in the day when I did youth ministry, and this has been about 20 years ago, that I remember at one of our staff meetings that I think, and this was like in the late 90s and early 2000s, that they were saying that by 2025, and that seemed like so far away, but now we're getting closer there, that by 2025, the Catholic Church was going to be roughly 50% Hispanic. Has that kind of, are we close to that, or are we even near that in terms of the church in the United States?
Yeah, so at the national level, right now, 2020, they're saying 53% of ages 0 to 18 is Hispanic.
Okay.
So that's as far as we can tell. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure with the census, you know, and after the results of the Fifth Encuentro, we'll get better numbers.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. We're talking with Oscar Castellanos. He's the director of the intercultural ministries there at the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. How did you come about getting into this role? Did you go to college for this? Or, you know, I like to ask people how they got into their position because I'm always fascinated by people's stories.
Oh, boy, this is going to sound like therapy, right? But my stories, I've been connected with ministry since I was 18. I joined a religious community. I was there for 10 years, so I went through seminary formation in different stages. I went to school at St. John's Seminary in Camarillo, California, Mount Angel in Portland, Oregon, University of Notre Dame, South Bend, Chemeketa Community College in Portland. That was part of my journey. When I left seminary, then I said, I'm going to try a different career. And I went back to church. You know, this is what I love. This is my passion. So I started working for the Archdiocese of Portland. Then someone from here called me and said, there's a position vacant. Do you want to come back to Indiana? And at that time, it was 5 years ago, it was the position of Hispanic Ministry Coordinator. And the position of director of intercultural ministry was also vacant. And after 8 months, you know, Cardinal Tobin was still as archbishop. And they just said, ask if we want you to take the position. And it's been 4 years now.
Well, that's awesome. I love hearing the story. And when you were talking about that you were on the West Coast, I'm like, how'd you get over here? But you mentioned Notre Dame, so that probably got you to Indiana.
Oscar, don't mean to put you on the spot here, but how many languages is the Mass offered in the Archdiocese? I mean, obviously English, and in a lot of parishes Spanish, but what other languages?
So we have a Burmese Mass that is offered weekly, and then we have a French Mass that is offered once a month. We have a Vietnamese and Korean Mass that are offered as well weekly. Obviously, with COVID, you know, things have changed a little bit, but that's usually within the Asian community, so Korean, Vietnamese, and Burmese. Once a year, we've been doing a Mass for the Mayan community, so they speak Chu. That's one of the official languages of the many, many, many languages within our indigenous communities. And then we used to have a mass that celebrated the African traditions. So it was, the main language was English, but we tried to incorporate through music or prayers at least four or five different languages. And then we also have Eritrean mass that is said in Shona, and that is usually once a year at least. And then once a year, we also celebrated the Zimbabwe community, and they have their own languages as well. So it depends. You know, some of these groups just come together once a year, others once a month, and others weekly, depending if they have a priest, which is the key.
Again,
minister. I mean, a priest that can speak the languages.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of hard to fake some of those languages. Just pronouncing the language is tough enough for most of us.
Well, as you were talking, Oscar, I was just thinking, I hope you have a priest to say mass, because I was just thinking that you got to have a priest for that, to know the language. I know many of them are just, you know, finally getting up with their Spanish, you know, so to have to find a priest for those other languages is probably a challenge. But one of the people from that community becomes a priest, so then they're the native to that language, right?
And while we're speaking of language, we shouldn't ignore Latin either.
Not that
that's a spoken language, but it is a language that Mass is offered in at certain parishes, Holy Rosary, among others, in the Archdiocese as well.
Well, Oscar, I want to ask you about the value that you sense that the multicultural ministries brings to the church, and why is it important? I mean, God made us all so different with all these many cultures. I mean, just look at the, look at the butterflies, look at all the different types of animals there are. I mean, God is a God of creation and very varied creation. So I always think about that as it relates to the church. But what value do you think that the multicultural ministries or multicultures bring to our church and our faith community?
That's a very interesting and fascinating question, because just by our definition, Catholic, you know, this is who we are. So any diocesan offices, any position that has the title multicultural or intercultural, it's a reminder that there is one more way of celebrating. There is a different way of interpreting life and faith. And I think it's also a reminder that usually the minority suffer oppression and they're treated differently, and a lot of times with discrimination, just by the fact that we are not the majority, and we do look like different, and we celebrate life and liturgy differently. And so I think that's why. But think about also, you know, companies and profits. I mean, they invest so much in making sure. I think of corporations like Intel and all of these big companies, you know, that are in constant communication with other countries. The type of connections and efforts that they need to make sure that they get the job done. You know, and as a church, we spend so much, not only financially, but in terms of resources and efforts to try to understand each other locally, not even internationally. So I think that's why we exist, and we do what we can with what we have, but there's always the invitation to do more, in my opinion.
And I just, for people who may not know what the word Catholic means, Oscar, what does the word Catholic mean?
You were going to say multi.
Yeah.
Universal.
Universal. right.
But I was going to say multicultural.
Well, hey, well, both and, right? Well, hey, we need to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the intercultural/multicultural ministries that Oscar is helping to facilitate down there at the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, Play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we're talking with Oster Castellanos. He's the Director of Intercultural Ministries. And then I asked Oster at the break, is it intercultural or is it multicultural? So will you explain the difference? Which one is it?
Yes, and it's a very common question. The name was changed about 7 years ago when Brother Moises was the director at the office. And the emphasis was on inter. Multicultural a lot of times reminds us that there are a lot of cultures coming together. And that is fine. This is who we are. We are a multicultural church. But again, the emphasis was on inter. That meant, you know, we work together. And no culture is better than the other one. Therefore, there needs to be some type of relationship, collaboration, coming together. It's not only just to celebrate and show who we are, but exposing our ideas, working together, and making this intercultural peace a more active, less than passive. So that was kind of like the reasoning behind the changing of the title.
And since you brought up the word peace, there has been a lot of unrest, and I really want to get your perspective on maybe some of the civil unrest and the racial upheaval that's been going on in our culture. Has that made your ministry more difficult? Or, you know, I think a lot of people are just kind of blindsided. They're not really even sure how to react. Do you have any thoughts on that? I'm not sure what my question was in there, but, you know, where do we go from here, I guess, in terms of how we address this? And I guess that's the first question is, has this been more difficult in your office to kind of do what you do? Or is it been, this is kind of your expertise area and you get what I mean?
Yes, I do. It's not my area of expertise, but I feel that our offices were bombarded with more questions, and that is always difficult. And I mean questions that were hard, you know, like, are you going to say something after George Floyd? You know, are you going to post something on social media? What are you doing? So they were not only wondering what are we doing, but they were demanding. And that is difficult, because when it comes to leadership, you know, there's this transformative leadership style. There is adaptive leadership style. And I think we have to be careful that we as leaders, you know, discern what is it that we can do as ministers versus technical versus adaptive, you know, and systematic. The word is escaping me. Racism is not an easy task to solve. It's not something that we can just resolve suddenly. And so I think when we find ourselves in positions of leadership, we have to distinguish between the things that we can tackle and just choose our battles as ministers, always with the gospel, always listening to the signs of the times. And so it puts us in a position of more prayer, more discernment in terms of what is it that we can do with the people and for the people that has been affected. And so that's why I think we, you know, we're hit hard, you know, as an intercultural ministry office, because people are in a way are asking, but others are demanding for action.
Well, as if things weren't difficult enough, we also had to deal with COVID. So how did you, and how are you reaching out, since we've had COVID and things have kind of been a little different in terms of executing ministry? Mm-hmm. I know you wanted to talk about the Intercultural Pastoral Institute. What's that, and how did that help you connect with Hispanics in particular?
Yeah, so the Intercultural Pastoral Institute was founded 11 years ago. By the way, there's a good article in the Criterion this week if you want to check it out, both in English and Spanish. But with COVID, you know, the interesting thing is that everybody went virtual. Mm-hmm. But we learned that that piece was a nuance. People were just discovering the virtual world and learning. But at the same time, we realized that people were getting tired of the virtual world. So with COVID, we were among the first groups in the Archdiocese to submit, to petition, that we wanted to be back in the classrooms and in our churches. So we started at the beginning of August with the school year, and the programs continued. And we've been successful in making sure, you know, that everybody stays safe. But again, people wanted to come back. They were ready. We made adjustments, changes. But the programs continued. And so far we have, you know, less people because of the restrictions on COVID. But we already have a waiting list for next year. You know, and so this is the beauty of how we are promoting, we are emphasizing formation, leadership, pastoral work, and even in the midst of a pandemic, people are saying, yes, you know, we want to continue. Thanks for offering virtual meetings and workshops and everything that we can watch on our computers and phones, but we like to be together as a community.
Sure.
And I think that COVID really, really drove that point home, I think, for so many people, that how important that Christian community is, how important it is to go to Mass, how important it is to see real people. People were just craving that after being cooped up for so long. So I think that's great that you were able to work that out for the Hispanic community. I want to move over to youth and reaching out to youth of various ethnic backgrounds. I know that that's a goal. What are you doing in that area, or what are you working towards?
Yeah, so we're doing a couple of things, and the number one, which is to me the most important one, is not addressing this alone. You know, nobody has the answer right now in how to walk together with the youth. I mean, you see different programs, you see different leaders, but I think this is an issue, and I call it an issue, because we're not seeing our teenagers, our youth, and young adults in church.
Mm-hmm.
And we all now know that, and so I think we need to come together. So the first thing that we're doing is collaboration with our offices of youth ministry and young adults. And they themselves are trying to make sure they connect with pastors, they connect with different associations, groups, because it requires a whole village to raise a child. And so particularly with the Black community, Perlette Springer, you know, just before COVID, you know, I believe 3 weeks, you know, we had an attempt to reach out to teenagers. It was canceled. Within the Hispanic community, last year, Saul Yaxa came up with TTT, something like Theology on Tap,
mm-hmm.
for Hispanic youth. And Paul Cifuentes, the new director of youth ministry, you know, with some background in the culture of Latinos, and Mary Kate Hannon being bilingual, we're trying to work together and see how we can reach out to youth. The Burmese community, it has been very difficult since we haven't had a coordinator of the Asian community since last year. The priest that was brought here for that purpose decided to go back. You know, the whole enculturation was very difficult, and he was just in the United States for 2 years. Didn't work out. So that remains a challenge for me as director, to find ways to connect with teens from the Asian communities.
And I think there's a breakdown for teens in general, you know, leaving the church in big numbers, at least checking out mentally. Maybe they're physically still there, but they've checked out mentally. So this isn't just a problem within the various multicultural or different cultures, but it's a problem across the board that, yeah, we definitely need to address together. We're just about out of time. We just got a couple minutes left, but I want to ask you, Oscar, What's this been like for you personally in your faith walk, to be in this role and to work with so many different cultures? How has it impacted you or helped you grow in your faith?
Oh, thanks for asking that question. It's not that I like to talk about me all the time, you know, but one of the reasons why I keep doing what I do is because I feel that I can share my faith. I am not the Messiah, thank God, so it's not about me. But when you share your faith, your experience of life, and what God has done to me and through me, I think that builds community. And so one of the things that I can share with you guys about ministering to other communities is that I'm able to appreciate mystery in a different way, because I've been once in a while, but almost every day, get a knock in the head and says, that says, one size doesn't fit all. And again, the word mystery comes to me. And I feel, you know, that I know the answer. I feel that I can address this issue, but it's no, Oscar. You know, there's more one way of doing things. And it, just the beauty and the privilege that I get to experience walking with other ethnic communities reminds me of the mystery of who we are, that we're complex, but we're beautiful because we're different. And so that, to me, has been a gift. It puts me in a position of not very comfortable, but always looking for God's grace rather than relying on my own talents, gifts, and credentials.
Amen. Well, we just have a few seconds left. Oscar, if people want to get connected to the Intercultural Ministries, do you have a website that people can go to?
We don't have a website. It's just the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Go through offices, and then you'll see Intercultural Ministry. But we do have Facebook, so feel free to look us on Facebook, and then that's the best, a good way of connecting with us.
All right. Well, Oscar Castellanos, Director of the Intercultural Ministries for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, thanks so much for being our guest today.
My pleasure. Blessings to you guys.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.